Zichor Yemayisai Olam. Pasuk Zayin, Parshas Hazinu. Zichor, remember, this is such a beautiful pasuk. This pasuk is, I think they say that Rav Chutner said that learning Jewish history is a geder of Talmud Torah. Okay, just like there's a mitzvah to learn Torah, v'shinantam levanecha, part of a chelik of Torah is to learn history. And it says it in the pasuk. Zichor Yemois Olam. Now, really, the truth is that's all subject to interpretation. But to translate the word simply, Zichor, remember Yemois, remember Yemois, the days of the world, which means remember what happened in the past. Binu, understand, Shenois, Dar Vadar, understand the years of Dar Vadar. So notice, we put the word Yemois, days, with the words Olam. And the word year, shenois, the years, with next to dar v'dar, generations. Sha'al avichav yagetcha, ask your father, he'll tell you. He'll tell you what's going on. What happened? May, are you calling me? What's going on over here? What's going on? Oh, here he is. He just called me on the telephone. All right, back in business. Okay, Binu Shnois Darvadar Shalivich Yagidcha, ask your father, and he will tell you, Zikinecha, your elders, Yermulachanda, and your elders, and they will say to you. Okay, this is very poetic. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin says, Zichar Yemoisa Lama Osa Barishainim Shech Isu Lufana. Rashi puts a negative twist on these words. Remember all of your sins. We don't like to translate the pasuk this way. When we look at this pasuk, we always look at it in the positive sense. But here it says, remember the days, what you've done, me'asa barishainin, in the earlier year, shehechisu lefonav, you've angered Hashem, binu shnei star v'dar, dor enosh. Go back to the generation of enosh. Shehitzif aleya me'oikyonos. Hashem, the Hashem flood. Now this is a medrash. It doesn't say this anywhere in the Torah, that there was a Mabel in the generation of Enosh. We know about Noach. We know Noach was a generation where Hashem flooded the world. But there's a Medrash that says there was a Mabel, there was a flood in the generation of Enosh. Enosh was the grandson of Adam. Adam had Shais, and Shais had Enosh. He was an Enochal. Can you imagine Adam Harishon had an Enochal? We don't think of it like that. No one ever thinks about Adam Harishon having Enochloch. You think about Adam Harishon having a wife. Adam Harishon, Meir, he didn't have a Shviga. He Meir, there was no Shviga, Adam Harishon. No father-in-law, no mother-in-law. He had a wife and he had children. But he had also Enochloch. Okay, Vidar. V'dor ha-mabel, and then there's v'dor ha-mabel, she-shot-form that were flooded. So Rashi here, for some reason, he adds in the dor enosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu flooded them. It wasn't a mabel, but it seems like some major, major, major churban. Over here, there's a mosquito over here that's bothering me over here. Okay, I got it. Okay, fine. Davarach, another pshat. Loi nisanam levavchem al she'avar. You did not pay attention to the past. You did not apply your heart to the past. In order to learn from the past for the future, let's go back. According to Rashi's first interpretation, it appears what Rashi means to say, he's coming to explain the repetition. When it says Yemois Olam, this is Dor Enosh. When it says Shenois, the years of Dor Vodor, this is Noach. So we're focusing on two very specific generations that angered Hashem. The Dor Enosh, they worshipped idols, and the Dor of Noach, that they also angered Hashem. Dor Hamabel. And then the pasuk goes on to say, then Rashi goes on to say another pshat. No, when it says Dor Vador, it's not the past. Dor Vador is the future. And when it says Zechari Mois Olam, it's not referring only to Dor Enosh, it's referring to both Dor Enosh and the Dor Hamabel, and for that matter, all of the earlier years where mankind angered Hashem, and the benefit of studying history is to learn for the future. Right? If you ever take a course in history, okay, in high school, even in elementary school, they teach you that what is the value, what is the benefit of learning history, of studying history? And the answer is, when you study history, you're able to gain insight into the human condition to know how to plan the future. Everyone in this world makes mistakes, but the difference between a fool and a wise man is not to repeat your mistakes. The fool repeats his mistakes, and the wise man learns how not to repeat his mistakes. By studying the past, you will learn how to prepare and to move forward into the future. And according to Rashi's second interpretation, that's exactly what this pasuk means. Zichor yemois oilam. Study, remember the past, for the purpose. You have to add some words into the pasuk. The purpose of studying the past is so that Binu is a very powerful word. You will gain insight into the human condition, and you'll be able how to plan and how to move forward Shinois, the years, Dor Vodor, that are in front of you, that are coming ahead of you. You'll know how to plan going forward. Okay, one more time, those words of Rashi Dov Racher, Loi Nisatem Levavchem Al She'ovar. You did not pay attention to your mistakes in the past, so that Binu Shinoi, so you could understand the years of the generations that are yet to come, Lahakir Lahaba, Sheyesh Biyodo, because you should realize that if you're going to misbehave again, Hashem will destroy you like he did in the past, and if you're going to behave well, Hashem will reward you. Sheyesh Biyodo, it's within Hashem's Lahetiv Lochem, Lahanchil Lochem, and to bequeath to you, Yibois HaMashiach, V'Hoilam Haba. Now, where did Rashi get that? Where did Rashi get Yemois HaMashiach and Olam Haba? I guess that's all included in the world, in the words Dor Vodor. Dor Vodor, Rashi learns, is Olam Yemois HaMashiach and Olam Haba. Next, Shal Avicha, ask your father. So Rashi here says, the very, very unique translation, Elu HaNeviim Shenikraim Ovis. It doesn't mean your father, mamish, your actual biological father. It means the prophets. K'moy shenemar b'liyo, ovi ovi rechev Yisrael. Elisha, when he saw his Rebbe Eliyo go to Shemaim, he called out, my father. Zikeinecha, elu hachachamim, b'yoymru lucha harishoynais. And they will reveal to you what happened in the earlier years. If you want to learn history, it's an incredible thing. What Yisrashi over here is telling you is, don't study history from a book, from the library, a secular book, because history is subject to interpretation. Events happen, and it's impossible, literally impossible, for an historian to relate an event that happened in the past without injecting in a subtle form, no matter how hard you try, in the words that are selected, in the phrase, there's always going to be a slant, an interpretation built into reporting the events. And if you really want to prove it, all you need to do is to watch the 6:30 news. You watch the 6:30 news on television, and you have to record all the channels. You have to record, you know, you can't watch at the same time. You watch NBC, Fox, ABC, all the channels, and they're all going to report basically the same events, the same stories. And just listen, look at the words, how they describe what happened today. And you'll right away see there's a slant, there's an interpretation, they're injecting their opinion into the matter. So if you want to study history, he's telling us something that is incredibly fascinating. You want to know history, the only way to study the Rishonim is to ask the prophets. Because the prophets are speaking the word of God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will give you the honest interpretation of what happened in the past. And if you don't have a prophet, then speak to the Chachamim. Chazal say, a Chacham is Odif Minavi, is even better than a Navi at times. So these people, and we say Chacham, we're talking about Talmidei Chacham, people that are fully immersed in Torah, they are the ones that are eligible, that are entitled to teach history. Not a professor in college, in Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and all of the Ivy League colleges, when they will give you a course in history, people who are bikarsim for the most part, or people that have absolutely no sensitivity to religion, to yadus, and when they start telling you about history, even they're going to inject krumkeit. Look what's going on now. There's a whole, I forgot even what it's called. There's a movement now that to explain that a history, the United States was created in order to enslave, was the whole country was created.
History 1619.
1619. It's a movement. Okay, a new interpretation of history. And until this point, until BLM, it was total nonsense. It was considered to be literally garbage. Garbage thrown to garbage. And now, all of a sudden, it became a thing. It became a thing that we're going to rewrite, we're going to interpret the American history. 1619, this thing called 1619, which means the purpose of creating this country in America was in order to enslave African Americans. That was the Iker Tafkid. That's what history is. Who's saying this? Crazy Meshugoyim are saying this. And here you have this Rashi, this incredible Rashi, and the Rashi over here is telling you an awesome, awesome Chiddush. You want to learn history? Sha'al Avicha Zuchar Yemois Oilam. Study the past so that you'll be able to prepare Binu, you'll be able to have insight into the future, in the future, and to recognize that if we behave ourselves like Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can bring Yemois HaMashiach and Olam Haba. And if you want to study the past, don't go to Harvard and Yale and listen to Api Karsin. Sha'al Avicha, ask the prophets. They will give you a true, honest, divine interpretation of what has happened via Geitcha. And if you don't have prophets in your generation, then go to the Zekein and the Talmidei Chacham. Only they can give you a pure analysis of what has happened in the past. Josephus, we know Josephus. There was a lot of corruption. He was under the influence of the Romans. He was working for the Romans, and not everything that he wrote was accurate. There are a lot of problems in the records. The most popular and important historical account of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash comes to us from Josephus, and there's a lot of problems. Because who's paying him? He was being paid. Like, you know, they have all these studies today. They have these studies in all different types of different issues in society. And who's paying for the studies? The pharmaceuticals, the companies who are the ones that stand to benefit the most from the results. So it's not honest. It's biased. There is some influence that leads to corruption. And that this Rashi really leaps off the page. It is a powerful Rashi. Now let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Zayin says, "Itkar Yoimin Dimin Olma." Targum doesn't go over here into great depth like Rashi. Itkar means to remember. Itkar is the translation of the word of remembrance of to remember. Give me one second. Let's find a place over here. In this parish, no, the mamash is come out no rotten. There's very little over here. Itka, remember, yoimin dimin olma, the days from way back. Istakal. Now this is very fascinating. He translates the word binu to understand. This is not the typical way. This is not the typical way to translate the word binu. Binu means to understand. And he here is using the word istakal. Istakal means to look, to gaze intently. And Okay, so this is this sheds light on maybe, you know, it alludes a little bit more to what Rashi said. Speak to the prophets, because the prophet is called a choize. A choize means a seer, and the prophets, they don't just see forward, they see backwards. This is a very big topic of discussion. Actually, I spoke to Rabbi Schmidman about this. Schmidman, he didn't really go for this. But I'm talking about prophecy, a prophet. When we learn Nevuah, 99% of the time, it's always the future. A prophet tells us what's going to happen in the future. Where do we find prophets telling us what happened in the past? It's not so common. Maybe you have to study, go through Tanakh very, very well to get an appreciation of going backwards in time. But it appears here from Rashi over here is saying, in the second interpretation, if you want to know about the Rishonis, the earlier years, you need a prophet. Because there are things that have happened that are not recorded anywhere. You're not going to find any recording. There is absolutely no record. The only one that knows what happened is Hashem. And for us to gain access to that information, we have to go through a prophet. So a prophet is coming to reveal to us the past, and through knowing what happened in the past, we will be able on our own to know how to prepare for the future. So a prophet is not just being choize, a tzoife, looking ahead at the times of Mashiach, at the time of Olam Haba. The prophet is actually going backwards. And the Targum alludes to this. It's like Rashi is building upon the Targum, and he says, ask Avicha, Avicha the prophets. Why did Rashi say the prophets? Because Rashi picked up something very important from the Targum. The Targum says, Binu does not just mean understand. It means look, be mistakel, to gaze. What do you mean to look? You can't look. You can look all you want. You're not going to see anything. It's what mashahaya kvarhaya. There is an individual that is able to look backwards into the past. A Navi. A Navi is a choize, a seer. And a seer is not just someone who sees the future. He also sees the secrets, the classified events of the past. And it's important to reveal those events in order that we can learn from what has happened in order to prepare into the future. So when Rashi says Avicha, I mean, where did Rashi get this? Rashi really, really says something that's way out. Avicha, no, it doesn't mean your father. Why not? Why not your father? Go ask your father. Your father will tell you about stories that happened in the previous generation. People that every generation, unfortunately, it's Niskatnu Hadoros. You can hear some very nice, interesting stories, and there's a lot to learn from your father. What happened? He was around before you existed. Why does Rashi have to go say, no, it doesn't mean your father. It means a prophet. Where did Rashi get this from? Seemingly, Rashi got a little mashu of this from the Targum that says, Binu does not mean understand, it means to gaze. To gaze? Oh, you have to go to a prophet to gaze. His istakel b'shnei dar v'dar. And whereas Rashi learns b'shnei the years of generation, and Rashi, Unkelus is not telling us, are we going backwards or going forwards? He just translates the words very literally over here. Unfortunately, the Targum, at least from what we're learning, it's hard for us to extract what he means to say. Any depth? Sha'al avuch v'chaveloch, ask your father, and he will express. V'chavei means like Haggadah. Haggadah, that's what it means of he'll express. Sevach means your elders. V'yemun loch, and they will say to you. Unfortunately, here in the Targum, at least when we're learning over here, we don't have any Gresa Chidushim. We don't find over here a lot of interesting words here that the Targum is going to go off the beaten path. He's just pretty much translating the words literally. The only one word that really jumps out is the word istakal, which maybe we can say is a little bit Rashi, went off on that path to go and tell us about prophets. Okay, pasik, ches. Behanchel elyoin goyim. Now we're going to describe the history. Rashi, now this really is an opening to the entire next section of this very complex parsha, to tell us about Jewish history. Behanchel Elyon Goyim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu bequeathed, Elyon means Hashem, Goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave the world to the nations. Now that itself is a very interesting idea, that Hashem created man, man multiplied, and then Hashem told man, I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you this world. This world is yours. Man did not take, it's not an entitlement. Man thinks that they own the world because, you know, they were here and it's their world. It's not so. The pasuk makes it very, very clear that man, human beings, receive this world as a gift. Behanchel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bequeathed. If not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the world to man, then man would have no right to touch the earth. Ashamayim Shamayim LaHashem V'Ho'oretz Nosan. He gave Livnei Adam. Man is not entitled. We live in a world where we think we are entitled to everything. We're entitled to nothing. Everything that we have is a gift. V'Ho'oretz Nosan Livnei Adam. The way it worked was Hashem made the world and Hashem made man. And Hashem said to man, don't step on the grass. It's not your property. Don't touch the earth. You have no right to walk one step. It's private property. You know, years ago there were people, you don't see them anymore. They used to be these, when I was a kid, if you would step on someone's grass, they would come out of the house with a baseball bat. Remember those days? Back in the old days, people had these manicured lawns. Here in Flatbush, you walk on someone's lawn, the mama should come out of the house, they'll kill you. What are you walking on my lawn for? Today, I don't see people with such hakpada on their front lawn. Maybe there are. I don't know, but not. I don't see on my block people have such big hakpadas. But Hashem said to man, "Don't step on the grass. It's not your world." And then Hashem went. And Hashem called an Adam. I'm giving you a gift. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim. Hashem bequeathed to the nations of the world, to the nations, this world, the Hafridah B'nei Adam, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is phase two, the Dar HaMabel, the Dar HaFlaga, the Migdal Bavel, Hashem dispersed man, Yatsev Givulos Am, Hashem established boundaries of nations, L'Mispar, according to the number of the B'nei Yisrael, 70. There are 70 nations and there are 70 souls in the Jewish people. When Klal Yisrael became a nation, when did they become a nation? Yaakov Avinu had 70 children. Yaakov's bayis, wasn't it? It was Yaakov, and all of the souls that entered into Egypt is when we became a nation in Egypt. We started going into Mitzrayim with 70 souls. There are 70 nations corresponding to the 70 neshamas of Klal Yisrael. There are 70 members of the Sanhedrin. The number 70 is a very significant number. 70 years of Golos. 70 years, the 70 years of the Malchus and Nebuchadnezzar. The Soviet Union in our recent times lasted how long? 70 years. There's something very unique about the number 70. 70 years represents the lifespan of a person. Man's life is 70 years. I don't get worried if you're over 70, because 70 starts after 20. 70 doesn't start until you're 20. I'm not joking. Until you're 20, life doesn't start. So you have until 90. And then, when it says 80 is Gevurah, so you really get another 100, another 10 years. So it's really up to 100, you get a bonus, another 10 years. So it's up to 100. And then you keep on going via this. So don't worry, you first start when you're 20. And today they say, you know, today they say that 30 is the new 20 anyway. So you get another 10 years. Vaitis, let's see over here what it says over here in the Rashi. Rashi Pasikha says, Behanchel Elyon Goyim, Kishehinchil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lemach Isav Eschelik Nachalosam Hitzifam Ushetofam. When Hashem bequeathed to the people that angered him, This means that who angered him? The Dor Haflaga. The Dor Haflaga. Hashem told them, get out of here. Get out of Bavel. I don't want you in Bavel anymore. I want you to go. I'm going to send you out throughout the entire world. Send some of them to America, some to Australia, some to Iceland, some to the North Pole, and some he sent to Arizona. Everyone went to the different. When he bequeathed lemachis of the people who angered him, eschelik nachalosam, hetzifam ushetafam. He dispersed them and he drowned them. And what does that mean? What do you mean he drowned them? Ushetafam. I don't know what that means. I really don't know. You know what I have over here to say for 1 second? Let me go look. I have it right here. Very quickly. When Hashem dispersed them, Hetzifam Ushetafam, it says over here, Biyam Ho'akyonus Uvemeh HaMabel. Hetzifam, the word Hetzifam means to disperse. I thought we were talking over here about the Dor Haflaga. I guess not. Okay, let's read the end of the Rashi. Let's see. Let's go further. Let's read the Rashi again. Let's go further. Bihafido b'nei Adam, when he hefrid means to separate mankind. Kishehefitz Dor Haflaga, when Hashem dispersed the Dor Haflaga, Hoya biyado lehavira min ha'olam. It was within his power to remove them from the world. Veloy also can he did not do so. Ela yatsev givuloy samin. Kaimam veloy of them. Hashem preserved them and did not destroy them. Lemispar b'nei Yisrael. Rashi learns bishvil mispar b'nei Yisrael, because Rashi here learns the word lemispar, the lamed as because. Why? Shasidin lotseis mibnei shame. Because from the nations of the world will one day come out Klal Yisrael from shame, with shame, will the mispar shivim nefesh, and according to the 70 social bnei Yisrael, shayardu lemitzrayim, heitziv gevulos amim, he established the boundaries, shivim loshin 70 loshin 70 languages, 70 nations. So Rashi over here is saying a lot of words, and it's really not so clear. All of these. Let's just run through the Rashi very quickly one more time, just to clarify the Rashi one more time very quickly. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu bequeathed the Elyon means Hashem. Hashem is the Elyon, and the Hanichel means he gave the world to the nations. When Hashem, when Hashem gave it to them, he gave it to them through dispersal and through drowning. It's not really clear what that means, and over here on this side it doesn't really explain it either. Be'afrida b'nei Adam, when Hashem separated mankind, that's the Dor Haflaga, Dor of the Migdal Bavel. Kishehefitz, Hashem dispersed. Dor Haflaga, Hashem had the power lahazir min Adam to destroy them. V'lo yosek, and he did not destroy them. Ela yatsev v'losam, instead he went and he dispersed them throughout the entire world. Kaimam v'lo of them, he preserved them. Why did Hashem preserve these people? Because from nations would come out one nation, Klal Yisrael. L'mispar b'shvil. And he's translating the word two ways. He's translating it twice. And according to the world that exists today of 70 nations corresponds to the 70 souls of Klal Yisrael. In the United Nations, how many nations are there? I forgot. Like 140, I think. I forgot the exact number. It's almost double. In the United Nations today, there are accepted in this world to be approximately double 70. I don't know the exact number, but it's a lot more than 70. So where did we go wrong? How did we go from 70 to a lot more? I don't know. Let's take a look at the Targum. Targum Pasuk Ches. Be'achsana ilo'o amemaya b'fora shusei. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, achsanasa means to bequeath. Ilo'o means Hashem, amemaya. And then he says here this word, Bifara Shusei, which means precious. Bifara Shusei Bnei Enosha, which means he separated them from each other. Okay, so let's read further. Bnei Enosha, when bifarush bifarushose bnei anasha, the word bifarushose means behafrido. What's prishus? Prishus is when you is your parush. You separate yourself from other people. Quarantine, right? That's prishus. You have to go into lockdown. So bifarushose bnei anasha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused man to separate one from another, Kayem Tuchume Amamaya, he established the boundaries of the nations, Leminyan, according to the number of Bnei Yisrael. So Targ Moli here is not really translating a lot. He's giving a very simple translation. And one more time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the nations to inherit the world, it was done through separation. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim, the way Hashem bequeathed the world to the nations was Behafrido Bnei Adam, by causing man, one man, to get into a fight with another man and to separate, as what happened in Migdal Bavel. One man did not know the language of the other, so they separated into groups and each one went their merry way. And that's what established the Techume Yatsev, is the Kayem. It was established the boundaries of the nations according to Leminyan Bnei Yisrael. That's what Rashi said. Rashi says 70 nations. 70 nations corresponding to the 70 souls of Klal Yisrael. Now, this is something very, very important. What it says over in this other, because over here, it's an incredible insight that Klal Yisrael did not come into existence for how many years? 1,000 years from the time of the Dor Haflaga. It had to be at least 1,000 years. I don't have the timeline in front of me, but it's been like probably 1,000 years from Dor Haflaga. And already then, Hashem selected a number. He decided it's going to be 70 nations. He put into the mind of these people that they cannot get along with each other. They have to separate. This one went that way, and when all the dust settled, there were 70 separate nations. Why? Because in 1,000 years from now, there will emerge a nation that will have its roots in the number 70. Yaakov Avinu had 12 children, and they had their children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and when they entered as a nation into Egypt, they reached the number 70. That's when the nation began. And Hashem is showing that I'm planning ahead 1,000 years. It's like what we say in the Nusach and Rosh Hashanah, Tzoyfe umabit at Tzoyf kol hadoros. In the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, there's such a beautiful, eloquent Nusach. The whole Nusach is just unbelievable, especially Zachroinais. And there we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Tzoyfe umabit at Tzoyf kol hadoros. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now plans, puts into motion events, because in 100 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, it will be necessary. What I'm doing now is necessary in order to bring about an event 1,000 years from now. And us living at this point in time, it's impossible for us to see what's going on. Many times you see shidduchim. Very strange shidduchim. How did this come about? And we don't realize that it's necessary for the shidduch to happen at this point in time, or the shechna to happen, because Hashem is preparing for the great-great-great-grandchildren. The great-great-great-grandchildren have to be in position to be Meshanech with somebody else in order to produce a person that will be the Melech HaMashiach, a person that will have the character and the unique combination that will be a leader for the people in a time of great need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a chess game. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can even outsmart a computer. Hashem can see all the way down. And it's amazing. Here, Hashem is making a statement. We're now going to have 70 nations to show you that in 1,000 years there will emerge a people that will have 70 souls, and I want to show the only reason why I'm preserving you, wicked people, is because from you will come a nation, Klal Yisrael, which will achieve the purpose of this world, and you are necessary to bring that about, and to put my mark and stamp on this, and in the end of days, us today here, I'm sitting here in the kitchen over here, and you're sitting in your house, and we're talking about this on Zoom, we have the ability to look back and to say, wow, isn't that amazing? At the time of the Dar Enosh, they all of a sudden, they couldn't communicate, and they dispersed, and when all the dust settled, there were 70 nations, and people were scratching their heads, why did this happen? How did this happen? Why the number 70? And for 1,000 years, no one knew the answer. And then there was a nation, Klal Yisrael. No one even paid attention to them, or even counted the people. We only counted the people later. It was accounted in the Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu. He wrote the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote, there were 70 souls who came into Mitzrayim. And here we are today, reflecting upon this, and we see the whole picture. We are Zoicha, to be able to look back in hindsight. Hindsight is 2020, right? Isn't that what they always say? 2020. Can't get better than that. It's 2020. Hindsight is 2020. To look back and we're able to see how the magic number 70 was there for this purpose. And the Targum says explicitly, and that's what Rashi explained. Pasuk Tes. Ki chelek Hashem amoy, because the portion of Hashem is his nation, Yaakov Chevel Nachalose. What is a Chevel? Chevel is a rope. A rope has three strands. Achut HaMishulash Shalom Marina, the Rashi Pasuk Tes says, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, Lama Kol Zois, why? Lefi Shehoye Chelke Kavush Beinim. Why is it called the Shochav Rachmanis upon the nation of the world not to destroy them when they were so evil? Because in the nations of the world was shame, and from shame would come Noach, and from Noach would come Avraham, and from Avraham would come Avraham, and Yaakov would come Klal Yisrael. It was Kavush. Kavush means, that's a very interesting word. Kavush, it was buried. It was buried. It was buried in them. The Osid Lot says it would come out one day. Umihu Chelkoi, who is Hashem's portion? Amoy, his nation. Umihu Amoy, who is his nation? Yaakov Chevel Nachalosai. Yaakov is the third of the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hamishulash b'shulash zuchuyos. Zuchus avi aviv, the merit of his grandfather, uzuchus aviv, uzuchusoy hare gimel, kichevel has a rope. A rope by nature is braided. You need three cords to make a rope. Shu also begimel gidilin, three different strands. Hu ubanav. He ubanav hoyulo lenachlo Yaakov. Who ubanav hoyulo lenachlo Yaakov and his children. Veloy Yishmael ben Avraham. Veloy Esa ben Eishel Yitzchak. Like we say in the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, we said the Akedas Yitzchak lezaharoi hayoyim tizkar. We mentioned that the Kedah of Yitzchak, remember, Lizari, for his Zera, not Yishmael, and Lizari, the emphasis on Yaakov. So therefore, Hu Bonav, this is a very powerful Rashi, so we go back to the Pasuk one more time over here. Rashi over here is a very unique in this translation. Ki Chelek Hashem, why did Hashem preserve the wicked people of the Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, because it was kavush. Kavush was pickled. It was pickled. We are dill pickles. You ever go to the Lower East Side? They still have, I don't think they have anymore. I think that it's gone. He's gone. I remember the Lower East Side. Dill pickles. It's the whole neighborhood stunk from the pickles. The whole East Broadway, it was Grand Street. It wasn't East Broadway. It was, I don't know, it's off there on the side there. You can smell the blocks away, the dill pickles. Klal Yisrael is considered kavush. We were being pickled. We were being preserved in that in those nations until we came forth? Ki chelek Hashem, the portion of Hashem is amai, us. And what is Rashi's eating a lot of words in the bus? Who is Amo? Yaakov, the bechir sheba avos. Why Yaakov? Because Yaakov has within him the zechus avos, Avraham and Yitzchak chevel nachalasa. You see in this pasuk, you say that the seventh zechus avos, benon shel gedolim. You see a person who's an einikel of a great person. It means something. It's not something you take lightly. Let's see the Targum plus the test. Arei chuloka de Hashem anei Yaakov adav achsonsin. What does that mean? What is the word adav? Adav is a translation of chevel. No, it's not. A rope. What is chevel? So here we have a machlekes. Rashi and Unkelus, and that's where Rashi is coming to disagree. The word Adav means a goyrol. Very relevant to Yom HaKippurim, the Avodah, the Sohel HaHashem, the Sohel HaZazel. It was done through a goyrol, a lottery. Okay, so therefore, now that is that changes the whole picture of this pasuk. Ki chelek Hashem amo. We are Hashem's portion. We are the goyrol of His, the lottery of His inheritance. Doesn't sound right. It almost means to say if it wasn't us, it would have been somebody else. It's a very frightening idea. Okay, the Sifrei is the Medrash on Sefer Devarim and Bamidbar. Sifrei is plural, not Sifri. Sifri means a singular book. Sifrei is plural, two books. There's a collection of Midrashim on Medrash Halacha, on Bamidbar and Devarim, and there it says Ein Chevel Ela Goyrol. Okay, a lottery. And the reason why when they would cast lots, they cast lots through ropes. Now I don't know exactly what that means. How they cast? I think they had different sizes. They had different size ropes. At least that's what they showed in the movies. Right? You take a bunch of ropes, and they're all different sizes. But the top, you put one end is all the same, and you put it in your hand, and you close it. And then people come, they take one rope. You don't know which rope is long, and which rope is short, because on the top, they're all the same size. And everyone takes a rope. You can't tell. We can tell which is large, and then everyone looks at the rope, and whoever has the biggest rope is the winner. It sounds almost like potluck. It sounds like luck, but that cannot possibly be because there's no such thing by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as coincidence. So obviously, this is a very deep hashkafic idea that what appears to us from our perspective to be luck, a lottery, by the Ribbono Shel Olam is extreme precision. On Yom HaKippurim, the two Seirim, Sohel LaHashem, Sohel LaZazel, and it's a girl. It could go either way. Which one is LaHashem? Which one is LaZazel? It can go either way. And that's and HaKadosh Baruch Hu went out of his way to select this is how we're going to do the Seder HaVaidah. One animal is going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and one animal is going to be mutilated and thrown off a cliff in a brutal way. Why one, not the other? They are identical, the two animals. Purim, the whole miracle of Purim was a goyrol. And yet we know behind the goyrol, It's our avoda to recognize that even though in this world everything seems to be chance, just coincidence, it's our duty to recognize everything is happening with the utmost precision. So the Targum Unkelus is extremely profound. the depth in his translation of these words touches upon the innermost secrets and yesodos of Judaism, to say that Klal Yisrael is Hevel Nachalosai, which basically means the Umay Sa'olam, the nations of the world, when they look at us, they can say, you know, it's just all of your success, everything that you have, it's just, you know, good luck. You're in the right place at the right time, and this happened and that happened. The fact that Hashem selected you, it's because this happened, that happened. It's not because you really possess something unique, something special. That, in science, in the world of science, we are truly just, it's just luck, coincidence. But we know, Ki Chelek, the beginning of the pasuk says, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo. Hashem has selected us with the utmost precision, recognizing who we are, what we are. But to the world, and even to us, who doesn't see all the secrets, it looks like it's just a lottery. The fact that we are his inheritance, it's a chevel, targum, it's an adav, a goyrol. Okay, that's, you bring up the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk is expressing incredible love, precision, preciseness. And the end of the pasuk is just saying, it's potluck. Elu ve'elu are correct. That's how Hashem made the world. Everything is done b'hashkacha, but it cannot be proven. You can't prove it. Scientifically, you can't prove these things. That's right. That's all part of emunah. That's what the Targum says. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi didn't want to go with that pshat. Why not? I don't know. Rashi obviously did not... he didn't want to say the pshat. And Rashi said it very different. Rashi says... Ki chelek Hashem amo. Who will mean who is the amo? Yaakov. Because Yaakov is a chevel, a rope, not a lottery. Not a lottery, a rope. What is a rope? What is the characteristic of a rope? Three cords. Ve'achut ha'mishulosh loy b'mehera yinotek. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, zuchus avos. All right, that is a really, I think, is a powerful, a lot of powerful limud in here. We'll stop here. Have a wonderful day. A wonderful evening. The day is over. Day is gone. It's dark outside. See you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Does anybody know Mark's name, his Hebrew name?
Mark's Hebrew name, I don't know. Mark is okay. He's okay. He's recovering.